on the agenda is still the topic of XML. If people are interested in that, I can tell something about it. I'm not sure if those using it here would hear something new. Then I wanted to say something about Lexing. Lexing most has
to do is nice topic.
Lexing and visual debugging actually is also a nice topic, I think. So I just want to go on with what's on the program, and then if needed I can do the XML afterwards. Okay, what is Lexing? You may also wonder why I put this topic on the agenda, but the reason is that it, as we will see, to a large extent influences my coding. Many computer languages, they have a mandate structure, like Mari actually had a talk where she was talking about, okay, you draw something, you fill something, you do whatever, but that's more or less a sequential series of actions. But MetaPost being a real computer language, it also has some things that deal with some kind of structuring your code. You can have, for instance, definitions, we saw some definitions, but you can have loops, and you can have conditions, and you can have things like that. So that's why I say most computer languages, that at least the ones that we deal with, have some mandate structures. And it has, apart from that it of course provides features, has another advantage. It permits you to check for errors. So what's the most obvious structure in a text document? Really?
Commands.
Mm-hmm. No, this thing, what? Probably the most used. Yeah? Yeah, you begin and end an argument or whatever, or a group or whatever is associated with it at that point. So it means that you can check your input by checking if this one is matched by that one. And if you can check that kind of stuff, and you can correct it, it saves you a run.
Half a run?
Yeah, okay, depends on how soon the error shows you. Now, to be honest, I think that if you go back in time to when Don Knut had to, you know, he was writing the tech book, which has file size that didn't fit into those days' memories, that where the result probably filled up a complete disk. Yeah, you can imagine that it really made sense to check your input, because when you come back the next morning and you see the tech prompt, it's not really fun after the night running. Anyway, editors, I think most people here, as soon as you see them pop up something on the screen, you can see that the editor does some coloring of reserved words and special symbols like this. So, if you are using, let's say, multiple languages, and we have seen Tech being used, Lua being used, XML documents were showed up, I had some SQL, things like that. So, if you use multiple languages mixed, it also makes sense to have consistent coloring of similar constructs over languages. And this is something what editors often provide. You have color schemes and things like that, that gives it some consistency. So, this probably explains why, if I look at my stuff and the tools that I use, I've always used some way of editing where coloring was part of the game, although not in the first version. First version, first editor, we wrote it in the beginning of the 90s. We really wrote our own editor. If I look back in time, so why did I do it? Did it make sense? Well, it made sense because there were not that many editors. It was WordStar times.
Hmm?
I don't know how many remember WordStar.
Emacs and VI already existed.
Yes, on the IBM PC, 4.7 megahertz, 640.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I rest my
case. We are talking about those times.
Yes,
yeah?
Edwin, I rest my case.
You rest your case.
Okay. Quickly after that, we had our first extension to that because we had started using Tech, and it was called TechEdit, not so original name. This is actually the reason why sometimes people, when they see the context, provides some kind of project structure. You can have projects with products and components and environments. And one of the reasons why we have that kind of stuff is that this editor was able to understand it. So you could say, I have a project, I click on the project, I see all the components, etc., etc. That kind of support. So that's why it's still there, apart from other reasons. And this was all written in Modula. And believe it or not, there is a program nowadays called TechWorks, with an S. And we actually had TechWork for a while. I don't know if it ever ended up in the distribution. I think it was for some short time also in the distribution. I found it back. And I actually,
at least there were some support files in the distribution, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I was even able to run it few days ago. But this beast is written on top of TK. TK, I think, is no matter who claims victory over GUI stuff. I think TK is the basis of all these systems that rendering GUIs and Windows and whatever kind and widgets. You know, so we had this thing. One of the nice things about this is that I actually have to go. This is one of the stupid things of this Perl thing. I have to go to another logical drive. Yeah, so there's sources. Sources. This is one of the reasons why we wrote our own editor. I want to be able to run over directories like this. Immediately see what the result is and immediately get it colored and something like that. I don't know any editor. I don't know any editor that does it still yet. It's a really pity that also of Sky that I use. And this is using an interpreted language, using Perl and TK. Well, Perl's not the fastest, and TK is.
It should be much slower than it actually is. For some reason, the TK canvas is much faster than you think it would be.
Given what it does, yeah, with all these properties of our things.
Yep.
And I still, when I look at it, I still get some, you know, some sentimental, like, well, maybe I should look at it again, something like that, Lua TK or whatever it is. But, okay. Go back to this. The reason why we never really went on with this is that, you know, at some point you say, oh, I have to maintain context, I have to maintain an editor, I have to maintain this, you know, where does it end? And because we also ran into Skype, and Skype was actually quite nice editor. I think for a long time the only techie I knew who used Skype was, yeah, you still use it?
Yeah.
And it's fast, could handle large files, and it did some syntax highlighting. But it didn't provide a very good text syntax highlighting. It was typically one of those highlighters that was written, well, by somebody, I think, who used a sort of subset of tech, and only that subset was somehow dealt with. So this is why I wrote the current syntax highlighting for traditional Skype, and they're still distributed with Skype itself, as far as I know. first time I ever did something in C. Probably forgotten most of that. But that was actually syntax highlighting. You take a line of code and you look at this line and you say, okay, see curly brace has to be, in my case, red, you know, the curly brace has to be red, etc., etc. There's some intelligence going on, but not much. Interesting thing is that this kind of coloring of your input line by line works quite well for most languages, especially languages like Tech and MetaPost. Then Skype got an LPEG-based Lexing framework. And LPEG, for those of you who don't know it, LPEG is it's built into LuaTeX actually too, is a Lua extension that provides a complete parsing framework. And it takes a little bit to get accustomed to, but once you get a hold of it, you don't understand why other languages didn't have something like that from the start. So it got LPEG-based Lexing, because I already had written the new syntax highlighting code for Context Mark 4. It was not such a big step to rewrite the Lexers that I had written long ago, or they basically the syntax highlighting. Let's not call them Lexers because they don't do anything clever for Skype. So we have now in the context distribution a couple of basically extensions to Lua-based written in LPEG extensions to Skype, which do a more clever form of syntax highlighting. Talk about tech, talk about XML. I've got PDF highlighting, Lua highlighting, context Lua document, which is more or less Lua, MetaPost, and basic text. What a minute. What can you highlight about text? We will see that. Now, for me, the interesting thing is that it's not a big deal to highlight your code in your tech code, but in the modern context documents, there's not only tech code, there's also Lua code. And there's MetaPost code. It's all part of the same document. So the nice thing is that we now have highlighting of, let's say, your tech code, and I will show it, but also highlighting of your embedded Lua code and embedded MetaPost code in the same document, and it automatically adapts the highlighting models to the language that you're dealing with. There's integrated spell checking, so that's why we have the text lexer. There's real-time checking against lists of words, so it can immediately see if you type something in the wrong way, and it works nicely alongside the regular coloring. For some reason, this Lexing extension, which is just a C++ module that needs to be compiled, I guess, is not available for Mac OS X. There's a Skype for Mac OS X, but I've given up on something like that ever coming there. Otherwise, I would consider a three platform setup, but after a few years, I don't see it coming. Unless maybe Taco starts compiling that kind of stuff, and I'm not going to ask him to waste time on that.
You mean spell checking of commands?
No, the LPEG extension, just so the LPEG Lua extension for Skype. It's a Lua library, and it's available for Linux, it's available for Windows, but it's not available for...
No, I mean the point 2.
Point 2.
Integrated spell checking.
Yeah.
Whether you mean spell checking of the commands?
No, I mean if you have written your words well.
Yeah.
It's not, though, that's the next thing, but not now. The checking the tech commands, I mean, could be done, but one of the difficulties there is that a lot of context commands are generated indirectly. There is basically, for instance, even start itemize, or start itemize is a better example, but let's say start chapter, is nowhere defined in the source. There is a define section or whatever that finally results in start. So it's a little bit difficult. You need way more code at the format generation time and definition time in general to make a sort of dynamic extension than that is. And then you could have it with your format, but then the problem is you don't have it with everything you write yourself. That doesn't mean that there is no checking. There is checking. Commands, that known commands are highlighted, but not the dynamically formed ones. There's been a little bit pitfall. My machine is by now 6 years old, and really huge files, like the character database of context. This kind of clever syntax highlighting is really slow. Not that I care much, because there will be a new machine someday, and who knows. But the future of this, before I give you some examples, is I will probably improve the current ones, because there's still some things that not exactly like the one. I will add an SQLX. I found out that the current SQLXs are simply not, well, they don't recognize all the keywords and things like that. It's really messy. Strings are not parsed well. I hate that kind of stuff, so I will write one. It's not so difficult. I might make an HTML CSS variant that suits my purpose more. It's just a variation of XML anyway. Oh, you soon get a whole lot of points. Oh yeah, back at the beginning. So this is more or less what I wanted to tell you about, and now I will show you. There's a little bit of problem that you cannot really see all the colors that well.
You could tweak a bit with the contrast on the beamer.
Hmm?
But I don't remember how that worked.
Mm. We can make things work worse.
And maybe some corals towards. No, it's a balance.
Yeah, we can now see some. Yeah. Well, hopefully, you can see a little bit of color now.
Yeah.
Like this context command, type chapter, so it's every tab command is green. This one is bold, so this one is one that is known. Yeah. So this one is, I have to figure out a way to have these dynamic ones also known. There's a lot of color going on there, and you might wonder why that is. You know, use module, start text, this is structure. So everything really, if you talk about your superstructure, gets colored this way. Okay, I'm telling this for Skype, but it might be that somebody using another editor might configure the things for his or her editor. So that, but this is at least what I call, this is my benchmark. Yeah. So we have tables, the context distribution ships with tables that provide this classification. So where you can find all these commands in the specific classes where they belong. So if you want to tune your own editor to suit what, but how I look at it, you can try to do it. I'm not going to do that for all the others. Okay, so we go here. We have this command. We go there, go there. And we see Lua code. So these commands, instead of being green, they are black. Yeah? And everything in between is left as if it is Lua. So it recognizes the keywords, yeah, and strings and things like that. So Alexa automatically switches to Lua as a language. And you can see here is some MetaPost. We do the same as MetaPost. It recognizes the MetaPost syntax. Here we're back at Tech. Now, if you know a little bit of the inside internals of Tech, you also know that, okay, there are things we call primitives. And primitives is something that is, well, as it says, really primitive. This is the core of Tech. So def is typically a primitive command. The else and the fee are, but if true isn't, because there is no if true. If true is actually, if there is actually an if true, but the other ifs are not there. So there is some additional checking if something is an if. So the if else fee, it stands out as some kind of conditional structure. So it helps you to, in my case, to improve your code, your test code, if you know this kind of stuff. All the languages, that is quite normal, but Tech is a little bit of a strange animal. Let's see. On the top you see language is UK. Yeah. And this is why here this text gets colored. Everything that is gray is black is okay. Okay or unknown. Yeah. Everything red is unknown. And basically unknown means okay, you definitely need to check it. So I have a lot my word list probably doesn't include the word in line. Yeah. Might be it's in dash line normally. This is orange. And the reason is because it has on my screen you can definitely on my screen it looks orange. Yeah. The reason is that it's not red but orange, yeah, is that it has a capital. So you'll never be sure if it's right or not. So everything with a capital, you get a sort of half warning. And this works basically real time. So if I, now it's not known, now it's known. So when you write an article, you key on and you get, depending if you take a UK or US list, you get different errors, of course. This is a non-breakable space. These things are normally invisible. And I had a couple of times in documents that I got from users, you know, they had this, why do I get a strange space or whatever here? And you look for H's to find out that there isn't one of those invisible characters in there. So the invisible characters are colored that way, because then at least I know that something is there. And so this is more or less a document that has all the peculiar things in it.
Hans,
yes.
What do you call language is UK?
That language is UK controls.
I have it over UK.
Yeah.
Shortcut.
I know, but that's traditional.
It's just because you are used.
It used to be GB. This is the GB UK discussion, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, Ukrainian. It's not Ukrainian.
Yeah, I see. I know that.
This is just how it. The thing is, it looks for a file on my machine in the text.
Which has a UK.
Verge-UK, yeah? And that one I have already for 15 years. So, okay, so now it's US, yeah? And it will load, in this case, if I do NL. Yeah, so there's a lot wrong now because it's NL. You see? It adapts itself to what you choose there.
It doesn't offer the correct version.
Well, the real annoying thing for me would be if it would offer the correct version, because as soon as I have a menu of three correct versions, I have a menu that I have to get rid of and that kind of crap. I normally know if it's wrong that I should choose either another word or correct it. Or I should just start Google and look at what does it actually mean that I'm doing, because I'd better know what I'm writing. I really hate those spell checkers that give you all these choices and things that you have to click and learn. No, that's something I don't want. There's another thing. There's a threshold built in. Words shorter than four characters, I consider to be okay. You know, there are so many three character combinations that are okay. That you in many cases, yeah, they are okay. So the nice thing then is that, but that you can better see it on the screen, and that's something I found out a long time ago, that this kind of spell checking is mostly about, you know, things that stand out. And if you have the small words and you don't color them, they stand out, and you see immediately if they are right or not, because you know these tiny words, if they are right or not. And at the same time, you also see different kinds of error if you use in Dutch deur or het, yeah, that kind of stuff. You get a completely different kind of feedback. In all the versions in TechEdit program, we even did something like we had a different coloring for passive and active words, tense. Yeah? So that we could immediately see, wait a minute, this sentence is written passive and this is active. So that we, just by the color, could see that we do something. In that case, I'm not interested in the menu is good or wrong. I know I have to rewrite the stuff. And done that in this, in theory is possible, because again, you can have many categories and words and a sense of words. Yeah, so let's take an average context module again to see that empty, different color. Empty is a predefined constant in context. All the predefined contexts have things. Of course, we need to be able to handle the underscore and names underscores. You can see how the if-else works. This is a primitive. This is not a primitive, but it is one of the low-level, what I call the low-level context commands. The low-level context commands have their own category. Nice thing is that, although you might wonder what happens here, this is actually one of the more complex modules, so not really good example for you to begin looking at. But because it has expand afters, yeah.
Double expand afters.
Double expand afters, yeah. So it. But at least it shows different coloring, and I found out that, you know, tech, in many cases, never looked like a real programming language to me. And just by using certain kind of colors and coloring, it suddenly started to look like more like a programming language. And it influences your coding. And that's why this topic is on the list of talks. Because if you know that, you also understand why some code looks like it looks. So we had this module, what was it? This Latin stuff, Ipsum. So we had Ipsen. It starts with Lua code. So having the Lua code properly colored in my tech document makes it way more convenient to have this code in the tech document. If it would be colored like tech, it would not look right, and I would not do it. So I find myself writing or adding more Lua code in tech documents than I normally would, because it's colored right. And so within Lua, again, we color the context-specific command, we give it the color so that you can see, oh, now I'm doing something tech in Lua. And so here you see a bit like if you write or rewrite modules, regular tech command, this is pretty low level, but context, it's not blue, so it's not a primitive. These are predefined constant, everything in this color. embedded Lua code gets properly colored, has strings. In this case, you need to be particular. Yeah, if something, again, we make something really give it a different color, because this in many cases means that you have forgotten something, like quotes or whatever. There's a bit of reason behind all these things. This is, again, it's not a really low level command, but it's somehow related to the structure of your document. You quit or you don't quit. Start text, another color. Yeah. So this is, and the way I color these things, and it already started with Mark II, when we had much more simplified syntax highlighting, to a large extent determines the way I code. and to a large extent determines the way why context source code looks the way it looks. If my context source code, okay, you might disagree with that, but if it looks crappy, it is crappy. If I cannot make it look right, also in terms of colors, something is wrong. And I go on fixing and doing, so there's, in addition to functional feedback, also sort of visual feedback on the, for me, quality of your code.
Okay. This is called visual debugging.
It is actually a form of visual. It is not a visual debugging I had in mind, but it is a form of visual debugging, yes. It's also the reason why, well, you see it sometimes on the contact list. I try to be very consistent in the way I set up my ASCII document, yeah? Carving, indenting, whatever. Sometimes you get documents from users who have a problem on the contact list, you see them, and the first thing you have to do is reformat them. Nowadays I have something, if it looks like crap, I'm not over, yeah? Because quite often you see people have forgotten something or whatever, and then that's the answer, and that's simply because they haven't formatted the text properly. The fact that tech can automatically typeset your text, even if it's input like crap, yeah, doesn't mean that your input should be crap. The better you input, the less errors, and I'm convinced the better your document is. So even if I have long articles, I wrap my itemize and whatever, I nicely wrap it till the ASCII text looks good. If the ASCII text doesn't look good, I don't need to process it till I'm finished. Yeah, if the ASCII text looks good, and I'm pretty sure that the end also looks good.
Does Kite implement forward and inverse search in PDF editors, which is used in SIGTEST, that you can jump from source code to the PDF and backwards?
The thing is, if I would need it, I would probably implement it. I think nobody ever bothered to implement it.
What do you think about implementing a reformatter?
You mean a reformatter for this kind of?
Yeah, if some users in support prep put it in, and it automatically reformats.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Could be a challenge, yeah.
Then you get stuck where the error is. And yeah, but then if the reformatter doesn't know how to reformat, you know where the error is.
There is a little bit of formatting that I made. I must honestly say I forgot most of it. So if I do this, I can do things like this. Oh, this is a bad example, because let's make a better one. Yeah, so this kind of text editing, I can align on of wrap on the point where I am, that kind of stuff. And I think there's also something for tables that can nicely make your tables align, but I've forgotten how it works and if it's still there. Because that sometimes happens. If tables are sensitive, I want to nicely align my columns and whatever, even in the ASCII document. But that's not, let's say doing the setup this or that kind of wrapping. I don't have that. Probably could.
You have to use a fixed with font.
Yeah, for this kind, that's why I need this fixed with font. For instance, one of the things I found out here, if you talk about these queries, well, in this MySQL thing, watch it. You do this. This is this quite properly thing. There is a beautify, this one. This one, okay, this one is, it doesn't do anything. I don't have an example, yeah, okay. Here you see it does some kind of beautifying. The funny thing is, it renders most of the queries invalid.
Yeah.
Because what it does, it removes, you know, you put something like this here. Oh, not needed, let's remove it. It removes it. we then suddenly think, like, I see there are a couple of keywords that definitely should not be there and should be escaped and unescaped, and suddenly you think it's in invalid. Yeah, so it's a dangerous thing. You can write it, but it could also probably completely screw up your document if you do it the wrong way. And in that document,
Utify is probably written in Python.
Yeah?
Because they use Python scripting.
Okay, so you can ask Marek to fix it. But I'm not Python. I'm not going to look into this. I'm not looking for another challenge. So I've learned my lesson, and I will not beautify. The thing is, with most of these things, is they probably start right, then the thing gets extended, the language. They forget to adapt to it, and then you are toast. I think that's a bit the. I think if you have something like key, yeah, you sometimes you have select key. Yeah. Now suddenly the key is no longer quoted, and key is a keyword, and so some reason key after select is not permitted. As a, yeah. So that's a danger. They extend the language with something, and then you need to. Because in MySQL in particular, it's quite tolerant. It's a bit, in my opinion, too tolerant. They better be more strict, and then this kind of adapting the thing is also more robust, I think. Okay. So this is next thing. Are there any questions about this kind of things? Because the next thing I want to do is I have a syntax highlighting code for test, pretty printing, the typesetting source code, then I will move this code also to that end. Although it is a little bit tricky, because if you write code, you want to know the errors. If you document code or write a manual, you sometimes explicitly put wrong code there because you're explaining something. But then syntax highlighting can get into the way. Yeah.